While Pastor Miles is not here, we have someone whom God is using in a very anointed, powerful, impactful way in another part of our world. We have Pastor Jackson Sinyonga here from Kampala, Uganda. And in speaking with him just before the service, he pastors a small congregation of about 20,000. And God is using this man. And so I would strongly do what it says in the book of Revelation, he who has ears, let him hear. So you might want to hear what this man has to say. God's blessed him. This church is doing, obviously, an enormous work there. Pastor Miles made reference to a pastor's conference that he was at, which was at Pastor Sinyonga's church. There were 5,000 to 6,000 pastors that came to this, and understand that most of them, from what I have heard, had to walk around up to 70 miles just to get to the bus place where they would be picked up and then brought into the church. And so the pastors were blessed from the whole region. So when God is using a church with power, he's using that church not only to reach people for Christ, but also to impact other churches, and so that they also can keep doing the Great Commission. So it's a real pleasure for the Rock Church to have here from Kampala, Uganda this morning, Pastor Jackson Sinyonga. And our church will be hooking up with his for international missions now and into the future. So God bless you. Come on up, Pastor Sinyonga.
Now, let's really stand and do that for the one who is worthy, because I'm not. Come on.
Thank you, Lord. Praise your Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I count it a very wonderful blessing for me to be able to be here this morning, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. When Pastor Miles was in Uganda, he blessed us tremendously. He left a great impact on the hearts of the people he served, and we loved his spirit, and people cheered and clapped and laughed and convicted. I mean, everything. You got it all here, and you are blessed to have a man like him over you, and with other pastors in the house that are helping you to grasp the heart of the Lord and encourage you to reach higher in the things of God. I think if I was in San Diego as a resident, I would be attending the Rock Church. I really fell in love with the spirit of Pastor Miles, and it's been a wonderful pleasure for me to get to know this ministry. Turn with me in the book of Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6, I'm going to redeem the time, because every time I stand on the American platform, the time runs faster. It's not very fair. But I bring greetings from our church, and I also want to introduce my pretty, beautiful wife that we travel together. Her name is Eve Sinyonga. She's right here. Keep standing. Remain standing. Remain standing for a little bit. Somebody's trying to get you on the camera there. Okay, good. You see her? That's wonderful. God bless you. And we have three children. We are able to travel with two. And we're just about ready to leave and go back to Uganda, where we stay and where we minister on around the 12th of November. I want to share with you something that's very, very important, at least on my heart as far as the Lord is concerned. Let's read. I won't tell you a lot about our church and all of that. To God be the glory for the things he's doing. And we give him all the glory for what he's doing. When I get more time, maybe in the evening, at the 5 o'clock and the next two last services, I'll share maybe about two stories each about the amazing thing that God is doing in Uganda, in our church. Let me say some things from the Word of God from this point on. And that is Luke chapter number 6, from verse number 6. The Bible says, "And it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered into the synagogue and taught." And this is Jesus. "And a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man who had a withered hand, 'Arise and stand here.' And he arose and stood. Then Jesus said to them, 'I'll ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy?' And when he had looked around at them all, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he did so, and his hand was restored as well as the other. But they were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus." Shall we pray? Father, thank you so much for the minutes that we have to share the word of the Lord with your wonderful people. Father, I honor and respect each one of them. Father, I thank you for extending your kingdom even through these hearts and are under giving them the grace to be in the presence of God this morning. I respect that, Lord. Now, would you please give me the grace to communicate to them in their hearts a message you have placed in my heart. And as I speak, God, anoint my mouth that every word I will speak will be quickened by your Holy Spirit. Dear God, bless somebody. Challenge and change us by the time you send us from this place. And Lord, in all that you do, let no man glory in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to share with you about stretching out your right hand. And now my people in Uganda, they talk to me. And that's what Pastor Miles made us. He made us laugh and talk to him back. So I want you to talk to me back. Everybody say, stretch out your right hand. The story begins with Jesus coming into the synagogue and beginning to teach. Jesus opening the door of the local church, maybe like today, and say, you know what, let me have church with you. What would happen if today Jesus walked through those doors and those wonderful, gracious, smiley ushers gave him the bulletin and said, "Welcome, Jesus, into the Rock Church Sunday morning"? What would happen? You just think for a minute. What would happen if Jesus said, "Okay, I'm going to have church with you"? Would things be normal? Would things be just, you know, typical, casual kind of thing? Or you would expect a touch from God? So he walked in the synagogue and, maybe the Pharisees thought he's going to just come and be cool and grab a chair and just fold his hand and look on. But the thing that I have realized about everything that Jesus comes in and involved himself in the things, he has an attitude of taking over. And that's why he is not most accommodated by many people. He is not most welcome in many structures. Because every time he comes, he says, "Now that I'm here, we're going to do a few things differently. Because I am is in the house." And the reason they call him I am is because you are not. So he opens the doors of the house and says, "I'm going to have church with you guys." And the Pharisees knew exactly what's going to happen. He's going to mess up the schedule. He's going to flip the whole thing upside down. He's going to just violate the powers of the bulletin and go by the different things. So every minute Jesus comes in, he's expecting adjustments in the hearts of people. He does not expect himself to adjust to the standard. He's expecting us to adjust. And that's where change happens. If we are going to embrace the things of God, we must be able to embrace change as friend. We must be able to partner with change. We must be able to say, "Change, I want you to be my friend from today on. I want you to be my partner. Hold me by the hand and let's walk together every day. I want to be changed from glory to glory to glory. I want to be changed from one level to another. I want you, the Lord, to just kind of like raise the ceiling over my head every day or blow the roof off that I may operate under an open heaven." We must be masters of change. We must be able to allow change to happen to us. And now, you realize that Jesus never called us to just encourage us to just be comfortable.
He does not want us to just be comfortable. He wants us to always change, always progress, always grow, always increase, always go through transitions that we may be better people, serve in better ways, and reach more people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the reason we're here. And that's how many people will miss out on the move of God in their hearts because they become so rigid. And they just go back to the thing that they used to do, and they go to place they used to go. And they miss the whole thing of God. And God never called us to be comfortable. And I know this is very anti-American kind of statement. Because we love comfortable things. We love things that are very conducive to our comfort. But God never made us comfortable to become comfortable, but to comfort the comfortless. God wants us always to look beyond ourselves. He's called us to change us, to challenge us, to stretch us. And when he stretches you today, he says, wow, I like that. Let's go again. Psh, psh, more and more and more. And by the minute you are comfortable, God says you are outgrown the level. Let's go. One of these days, God's going to challenge you to enter into a bigger vision. You got a great vision, thank God. But one of these days, you will have to enter into a bigger project, maybe building your own building. That will be a change to some of you. And you must be able to say, I'm willing to go through all the phases of change. Some of you, God will put some things on your heart that is way beyond your means. And that's good. Go ahead and do it. And God will bless you. He called us to change us. Sometimes he demands more commitment from you. He demands more resources from you for the work of God in this church, because this is an international ministry. Sometimes he wants more of your time. He wants more of this, more of that, and that is good. Why? Because God never called us to just typically live. Many people are just busy living. I tell people, if you only live to live, nothing is special about it, because everybody is doing it. Everybody is just trying to live. Get into a college, get a career, and then after that, switch a few homes and buy another one and buy a new car and maintain the new ring, and the hairstyle is all nice and is up to codes, he's cool, he's just a good citizen. And God said, what a waste. We are kingdom people. We are supposed to be concerned about the kingdom values, and kingdom, you know, mind must consume us. So here Jesus comes and says, you know what? I'm going to do something here. So the Pharisees begin to watch him and say, oh, wait a minute here. This young man is here, the radical Jesus. What are we going to do? Because they see a man with a problem and they see Jesus coming. They see a man with a withered hand and they see Jesus coming. And they know that a problem and Jesus will not stick together. This guy might do something. Watch out now. Hold the platform together and hold that microphone, because this guy might turn out to turn this service into a healing service. And that is not on the bulletin for today. So that's why they panicked, because they know that Jesus does not come in a place and the place remain the same. He does not go in the city and the city remain the same. Jesus does not come into somebody, an individual's heart, and that individual remain the same. Everywhere he goes, the Bible says, sometimes the cities could be moved, the Bible says, and people began to ask and wondered, what is going on in the whole city, because the city is moving. And the people would respond, oh no, it is Jesus of Nazareth who is passing by. He does not come in an environment and the environment remains the same. If you claim to have the Lord in your heart, we ought to see some changes. Okay. And the Bible says, and he began to teach, and there was a man in the synagogue whose right hand was withered. Now, this is a guy in the church. In other words, you can be in a church with a withered hand. It is possible to be in the synagogue with a problem. It is possible to go and praise the Lord and worship the Lord, but you know in your heart for sure you need some supernatural fixings from the Lord. You know God must fix your house. You know God must fix your heart. You know God might heal you from these addictions and problems that are just running after you all the time. It is possible. And I know we are serving people of need. We have many needs here as I look at you. We know that some of you have some problems, some challenges, some obstacles. But the whole thing is, this guy was in the right place for him to be healed. And this is very important for us to understand, that church is the absolute best place for us to be. I don't care if you've been coming like this guy 20 years, 15 years, 5 years, 2 years, 1 year, and you know, nothing is happening yet. Keep coming. It's the best place. Many people say, man, I've been going here for 6 months and nothing is happening yet. I'm quitting. I'm going back to the other church down the block. Stop it. This is the best place to be. And give God time, because many of you, you say, God, I'm hungry. I need you really. Please touch me today. I need you so much and I'm hungry for you, but you got 5 minutes to do it. And I challenge people, hey, give God equal time. I mean, he used to serve the devil for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. You know, you used to serve the devil. Many of you, I mean, that are older, you probably came to know the Lord by the age of 25, and you served the devil 25 years. You never complained about that time. You know, everything was normal. You go to the clubs, you do this, you never say, oh man, I've been serving the devil for 5 years, man. It's ugly. You never say that. And now by the time you come to the Lord, now you want to count every minute and every month and every day. Today it's been 6 months since I've been following the Lord and nothing has happened to me. Hey, I challenge you, let's give the Lord equal time. You give the devil 25 years, give God 25 years and see what he will do with your life. He will change you. He will bless you. He will lift you up and he will use you. So this man kept coming. Kept saying, you know what? I'm going to still go to the house. I'm going to still be in the church. On Sunday morning, I'm going to go there and worship the Lord at the Rocco Church. On Wednesday, I'm going to go there. Tuesday night, I'm going to be in the prayer. Whatever is happening in the college, university. There's another university within this university of the Rocco Church. I don't know. It's hard to understand. But the thing is, go for it. Go for it. Sign on for any kind of membership. Sign on for any kind of commitment. Sign on to lead a cell group, a life group. Do something. Keep going. Keep doing it. Don't say, you know, I went last night and preacher did not preach the way I liked him to preach. Don't think the whole world is revolving around you so they have to do what you like. You keep going. Oh, I'm offending somebody, so I'll stop. So the scribes and the Pharisees watched him. Can you say that with me? Watched him. You can do it better than that. Come on. Good. They watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day. And that is a killer. Because these are the guys that are grown up. They know more. They should know the Lord better. And they should help and serve more. Instead of serving the grown-ups in the Lord, instead of serving, they watched. And that's the problem why churches don't grow sometimes. Because people don't come to church to worship. They come to church to watch. And this is a universal problem. I got them in my church. They go and sit in their best spot and say, man, this is my best spot. Let me watch him preach. Okay, don't look guilty. There is hope. But actually, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to your neighbor, okay? I mean, if you want peace with them, don't you sit in their seat. This is my spot. This is how I watch the preacher the best. Don't you sit in my seat. So they come to church to watch. But none of us has been given a ministry of spectating. There's no such a thing like, man, I'm been gifted and been given the grace to look on. I have the anointing of watching people. See, these are the people that always come and they never stick. People that come, they just go through the door. They just come, sit down and check things out. No commitment, no nothing, no serving. Just look on. They're just potential believers for a whole year. I mean, not believers, they are potential visitors. It's just watch. They don't commit. I mean, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about the experience in my church in Uganda. Maybe you are good. Maybe I don't need to preach this. You are all right. But the thing is, in Uganda, we got this problem. People just come and they think that they need to screen everything out before they commit to the church. Or I want to make sure things are all right before I say, this is the church that I'm going to always attend at the Rocco Church. So I got to really check things out. So when people close their eyes, they go to work. Check it out. Check it out. They think they are the police of heaven. But God has not called you to watch and spectate. There is work here to do. There's opportunities that you can serve. There are ways you can add to what God is doing already at the Rocco Church. Don't just be an attender. Attending Sunday morning is very easy. Anybody can do it. Anybody, sinners, can come to church. Coming to church is easy. Are you all right? Yeah, coming to church is easy. Look at the chairs. They came to church. And they are always here on time. Anybody goes to church. But the thing is, don't be a spectator. So they watched him. That's why I call them Pharisees. Because they came from far to see. Pharisees. And because they came from far to see, they became very far. You see? Pharisees. The Sadducees also. The Sadducees, they came and they sat to see. Because they sat to see, they became very sad. You see? Watch your neighbor. Does he have a smile on? Don't become sad in the house of God. Anyway, let's go back into the message here. I'm trying to just kind of prepare myself to preach. You don't believe me anymore, okay? Okay. They watched him closely whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they may find an accusation against him. And that's very important. There is a key and a principle right there. Every time you're not watching, you're going to find yourself in a critical environment of being a critic. Every time you're not committed to what God is doing in the house, you're going to find yourself in a place of watching. And when you watch, you're going to see so many mistakes. And that's not what God has called you for. So don't try to push yourself in that dangerous corner. I got people that believe that pastors don't do anything good. I got people that say, Pastor, that was a great message, but the introduction lacked more emphasis. They're always looking for the negative stuff. Oh, that was great, but the conclusion needed a little bit of more conviction. Work on that next time. But Jesus knew their thoughts, the Bible says, and said to the man with a withered hand, arise and stand here in front. I'm about to begin speaking right now. Look at me. Now, Jesus knows that there's a problem here. The guy is having a need. Nobody's willing to help him. These guys, they were willing to still go on with their normal services, more services and everything. Everything routine, and no change. And Jesus has now come to bless this man with the gift of life in his right hand. And the Bible is very specific about which hand was withered, actually. The Bible does not say that a hand was withered. It says the right hand. Actually, the Bible is more concerned about which hand was withered other than giving us the name of the man and the genealogy of the man. We don't know the genealogy of the man, but we know at least which hand was withered. That is significant. And it's the right hand. The right hand, when you read the Bible, is something important to understand. The right hand represents power. The right hand represents authority. The right hand represents all that I can do to help myself out. I don't know about the left-handed. You need an altar call today and respond to it. But kidding. But the thing is, the Bible says that your right hand, O God, has become glorious in power. Your right hand has dashed down the enemies. That's the Bible. After Jesus overcame and he rose from the dead, guess what happened? He ascended to the Father. And what happened? He ascended where? On the right hand of God. The Bible says that God saw that there was no intercessor. No one was able to stand in the gap to make an intercession between God and people. Therefore, my right hand in Isaiah has gotten me the salvation. So the right hand represents authority and power. And this man, the right hand will represent touching God and touching people. The ability to touch God in faith, in the trust of God, in prayer, in Bible reading, the liveliness of the spiritual life had gone. He could not touch God at all, and he could not touch people. That's the whole thing about Christianity. The ability to touch God and the ability to touch people. He was going like this, and everything was normal. So Jesus comes in the house and says, you know what? I want to make a change in your life. That's why he did not do another thing when he came into the house. He only blessed this man and left. No other agenda, no nothing. He only came to touch this man because it was significant for his hand to be healed. But before that, this guy went through three stages. Number one, he knew their thoughts, verse number 8, and said to the man who had a withered hand, arise and stand here. And he arose and stood. Number one, he told the man to arise. He told the man to stand up. He told the man to be awakened and understand the moments of his life. You know, God will not do a new thing in your life until you come to a realization of your need. God will not, encourage you and bring changes in your heart that are needed until you become aware of where you are right now. And sometimes we are just being carried away with whatever is happening on the outside. We don't know the times of our lives. And God comes to us and says, you know what? I want to wake you up before I touch you. I want to wake you up before I can visit you. I want to wake you up and bring a sense in your heart that I'm about to do something around your life. So God says, rise up, stand up, but don't stand up to run. He said, rise up and stand in the midst. In other words, don't run, don't quit, don't give up. He put a man on a very sensitive ground. Why? Because the Bible says, when you read the New Testament, that if anybody confessed Jesus as Lord or endorsed his ministry, he would either face two things. He could be stoned to death or he could be thrown out of the synagogue. Now he comes as an individual, and this guy has been a member for a long time, and now he's challenged this man, poor man, in front of everybody with his own leaders and say, I want you to stand in the midst. And by this man standing up, he was risking his life. But he told him, rise up, because I won't do anything to you until you awake, until you stand up, until you understand where you are today spiritually. Do you know where you are right now? Do you know the thing that God is asking you to do? Do you know the convictions of God on your heart? Do you know the beatings of God, the naggings of God on your heart? Do you know the language of God to your heart? Do you pray this kind of prayer, Lord, reveal to me my heart the way you see it? Do you ask these questions to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you think when you think about me? Do you ask those kind of questions? God, please reveal to me exactly my heart the way you see it. I want to know exactly what are the times of your blueprint for my life. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to be busy about? What am I supposed to be giving out for my life? Stand up, shake off all the other concern, and become aware of the need around you. That's number one. Number two, don't quit. In the midst, stand in the midst. And that's the same part. Don't, when you stand, he never told him, rise up and run away. Because they're going to kill you or something. He didn't say, rise up and go. Leave San Diego and go to Alabama and begin a new life. No way. He said, rise up and stand in the midst of the opposition. In the midst of the heat. In the midst of the challenge. Don't just give up. Don't just divorce. Don't just change. Don't just run away. Don't just excuse yourself from responsibilities. Don't just say, well, if you don't like it, I don't like it. So the book is closed. The story is over. Get out of my face. No. Deal with it. Face it. Stand in the midst. Number two. And he did. Can you say that with me? And he did. One more time. And he did. Obedience. We cannot see the changes happen in our hearts and in our lives until we are willing to obey the Lord. What is obedience? Translating good intentions into effective activities. He told him, rise up, stand up in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. I like that. You don't find something like that in many, many, many people today, even believers. Actually, don't you thank God this guy was not an American? Why? Because we don't respond like this. We American people or first world people, we don't respond like this. If he spoke the same thing to this first world country, rise up and stand in the midst. Obedience doesn't come like that on this other world of side of the world. Obedience comes after a series of thoughts and thinking and questions. In Uganda, you tell people, do this. God wants you to do this. Amen. That's it. Okay. In America, God wants you to do this. Oh, really? Okay. Can you explain? It's like, I got to think about it, analyze it, find where my heart is about it. Is it comfortable for me? Okay, do I have a gift for that? Does it fit my time schedule? Does my five-year-old wants me to do it? I have to, you know. So before you believe or before you obey, you lost it already. So if you ask this man, rise up, stand in the midst. And he did. In these first world countries, Okay, Jesus. Where exactly do you want me to stand? May I know how long it's going to take for me to stand in the feet, people? Okay, give me more information to help my decision-making process here. Number one, you should have checked with me first. I mean, we needed to have a cup of coffee on this thing because you have to understand me, because you cannot just randomly kind of like come and ask me. First of all, I am not a people person. See? And then what are you going to do to me after I stand? I mean, may I know the Z before I do the A? Somebody's already guilty, but, you know, looking guilty at least. But the thing is, God did not call you to question him. He's God and he's all right. So don't check him out. Just do what he says. And here, we have to read books about obedience. I would save you your money. You don't have to buy a book and read a book about obedience. Yes. Let me give you what you need to obey the Lord. It's a new word and you don't know it. So I'm going to spell it for you. Take a pen, please. A very new word. It's an English word, but you probably don't know how to spell it. It's very, very new. Add it to your vocabulary from today. Are you ready? I'll spell it for you. D as in David, O as in orange, space, I-T. What is it? Come on, what is it?
Do it!
Do it! Oh, I wanna do it. Don't wanna thing, okay? Do it! I really want to worship the Lord. Don't want to worship him. Just do it. I'm reading this book about obedience. Oh, it's challenging my life. And now after you read a book about obedience, you want to read about a book that you just read. And you read four books and say, man, I'm reading these books about obedience. Do you have another book that is more, a little bit more practical about these books? So we become educated beyond our level of obedience. Somebody say, do it. Some of you are seated here. You know what God requires from your heart. You know you need to give your life to the Lord. You need to have a relationship with Jesus. And you're pushing it off. I really want to do this. Okay, I told you I want to do it. But I'm thinking about it, okay? Sometimes when we know what to do, we don't want to do it, so we pray about it. I'm praying about it, you know? I know God wants me to, I'm praying about it. 5 years, you're still praying about it. So he did. Just, yes. Stand here. Yes, sir. Lastly, before I say that lastly, let me say this. Then Jesus said to them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy? And when he had looked around them at all, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. Exactly what I just told you. When this man put all himself together to obey the Lord, to stand in the midst, he probably expected a reaction from the crowd. Because they have done this before. They had ever thrown Jesus out of the synagogue. They have ever thrown out people that, you know, abused the people that he had healed. So he expected maybe a backfire from the congregation and from the Pharisees. So exactly after he stood, the Bible said, and Jesus faced the congregation and said, do you think this man is out of order? What is that going on? What is going on here? When you stand up for Jesus, Jesus will stand up against your adversaries. You make a stand for God, God will make a stand for you. I don't care in the school where you're going, young men, young women, lift up the banner of Jesus so high. Don't worry about your character. Don't worry, character is good, but don't worry about how people will think about you. You're not weird. You are just special. You are unique, not weird. But if you take a stand for God, Jesus will make sure he takes a stand for your future. He will defend your future. He will defend your children's children. He will defend your family. He will defend the values that you hold so close to your heart. He will defend that. And now, after all of that, Jesus told them, shh, do you think this man is out of order? Shh. He made everybody quiet. And then lastly, he did this. Number 10, and when he had looked at them all, around at them all, they are quiet, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so. Before I mention this, let me say this. Jesus was trying to find out from this man, I want you to tell me how you look at obedience. Do you look at obedience as an event or as a lifestyle? You obeyed me by standing in the midst, but now stretch out your hand. Many people say, oh, I obey the Lord. Yeah, remember last April? And God said, no, the minute you stop to obey, you are disobedient. Obedience is a lifestyle. Okay? But the biggest thing is this, and I'll stop. He looked at them all and said to the man, stretch out your hand. Now, this is very important for us to understand. That Jesus is calling this man to do something that's bigger than the first one. And I can see a commotion in the mind of this man. He probably didn't say the words I'm going to say, but I can almost see that in his mind. This man is going like, Jesus, you must be out of your mind. What's going on here? Tell me. What are you up to? What's your mission here? I mean, I should have checked your website before we get into this. Look, I mean, do you have a brochure about your mission here? What is going on here? Now, you are pushing this too far. Jesus, this is not fair. You told me to stand in the midst, and I did it. Remember? The reason I stood is because my legs have no problem. My legs are functional. And I will do anything you want me to do as long as I can afford it. As long as it's between my means, I can do it, Lord. You told me to stand in the midst. I did stand. I risked my life to obey you, God. Can't you look at that? But now, how dare you make everybody quiet? You make me stand in the midst and make everybody look at me. I become the central figure of attention all over the room. And now you turn to me in that silence and you tell me what I cannot do. You ask me to do what I could never do in my life. This hand will never be stretched in my life. This hand is like this. This hand has become part of my identity. People don't call me by my name anymore. They call me by my problem. These are the areas I will never stretch. These are the areas I will never... If I wanted healing, I would have done this 20 years ago before you came. Do you think it's that easy? You just stretch out and the whole thing is healed? This is a generational thing. Doctors concluded, my hand will never be stretched. People commented, the veins and the fibers of life have died. Every cell has died in this hand. Do you think it's my will for me to go around like this? It is not my will. But the thing is, I have nothing to do about the situation. How dare you mock me and tell me to do what I will never do in my life? Some of you, as I speak today, you might have different things that you have said. This is the area of my weakness. I will never function in this area. I will never do this any better. I'm a man of great addictions. I'm a man of great problems. I'm a man of disturbed, family or whatever. Whatever you are, whatever addictions and problems and things that you sense in your life are a problem. And some of you, you have maybe repeated them over and over and over and over and again. You've been seeing those problems as you grew up. You've been seeing those problems day in and day out. And you have made a conclusion, this is the way I am supposed to be. And today, I want to challenge you from the Word of God. Jesus is standing in this house and says to you, stretch out your hand. You can do it, he says. If you can trust me, you can do it. Don't make conclusions that I will never serve God. Don't make conclusions that these are my problems. The whole problem is this, that when the hand has been here for a long time, it feels normal. It feels part of your life to do the things you are excusing yourself doing. It feels normal for you to repeat doing the bad things of yesterday. It feels normal to walk through life not having a relationship with Jesus. Because that's the house life has been going. It feels normal for you to not have any prayer life in your life. It feels normal for you to not serve. Not to lead a life group. Not to be part of the choir. Not to be part of something that's in the house of God. It feels normal for us to come in the house in and out. And nothing is happening. We're not serving. We're not committed. We're just coming when we feel good about it. And God says, no, you can stretch out your hand. I believe the Lord is knocking on your door right now and is telling you, if you will trust me and stretch that hand, you will not be disappointed. You will not sink on the waters of obedience after you say, Lord, I'm going to walk the walk of faith with you and I'm going to trust that whatever I can do, you will come and meet me there before I drown. God, I'm going to say yes to you. Lord, I'm going to give this out to you right now. And from this moment, it's going to be in your hand. Father, help me out while I take the journey of faith to trust you like I've never done before. Don't settle for anything that says that's normal. Many people maybe have called you by the problems that you are facing. Many people have called, don't you know this sister that have these different problems? Don't you know this brother in the church? He normally sits over that side. He always have these problems and this problem and this problem. They have identified you by the problem. And God says, I want to change that and take away the shame of your life and introduce a testimony that's great, a report that's wonderful, a report that will glorify me in the days of your life. God says, stretch forth your hand. Stretch forth your hand. He never said, he never just pulled it out by himself. Jesus said, no, I will not just do it for you. I will do it with you. I will not just do it automatically. I want cooperation with you. I want you to feel the need and I want you to cooperate with me. I want you to trust me in your heart that as I stretch it, what I cannot perform, God will perform. Jesus was trying to tell him, do you know I am the Alpha and the Omega? Do you know I am the first and the last? Do you know I am all that power means? Do you know I am able to take bad situations and turn them around for my glory? Do you know that I can take it and become and make you a blessing to other people? Do you know that I can begin a song in your heart, though it is hurting right now? Do you know that I can change the environment of your expectations? Do you know that I am God? Trust me and close that eye and say, God, let's go. Oh God, I don't know how to do this. I tried in my own strength many times ago, but now I will try because you are asking me to do it. And as you stretch, believe that what you cannot do, God will do. Yeah. again, obedience, and he did so. I hope nobody will miss out on what God wants to do in their lives by saying, I can't. I can't. I won't. I can't. I've tried yesterday. I can't. I hope when God speaks to you in the few moments that I'm going to ask you to think about this, I hope each one of you would say, yes, Lord, and he did so. You don't have to be, you don't have to master everything and answer every other little small details and every question before you can say yes to the Lord. God said, don't worry about the details. All I want is you to give me full sway to move in your life. And as you obey, I will do the rest. Close your eyes today. Dear Father, I thank you for these wonderful people. I praise you, God, for each visitor or each member or anybody here who is concerned about their lives and the things of the kingdom. Father, I pray that your hand will be stretched over all of us, that, Lord, you will do what we cannot do. But also, God, give us whatever it takes to cooperate with you by saying a yes to you and amen to you. As we close our eyes today, although in the back, left and right, and in the middle, if you say, Pastor, thank you for sharing that. I needed to make a decision to follow the Lord and love the Lord. But the thing is, I did not do it yesterday or the other week or the other month. But now that I'm standing here or seated here, I want to be able to cooperate with God and say yes to the Lord. I want you to think about this. Maybe you are a visitor. Maybe you've been coming to this church for several times and you have not given your heart and your life to Jesus. And you say, Pastor, today I want to be able to leave this place with the Lord in my heart and in my life. Pastor, pray for me that the Lord will begin a relationship and I will begin a relationship with the Lord in my heart. Pastor, please include me in your closing prayer. I would really like to receive the Lord in my heart as Lord and Savior to begin a healthy relationship with him. If you are that, I want you to lift up your hand and put it down. I'll see you and I'll include in my prayer in Jesus' name. Lift it so high. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Lift so high. Bless you. Good. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Wonderful. Wonderful. God bless you, my brother in the blue. God bless you, my sister in the back. God bless you. Yes, there's about 12 people. Anybody else? Come on. Come on. You say, yes, sir. God bless you on my left. I see that hand. Someone else? Okay, put those hands. Oh, yes. God bless you. I see that in the back. If you have not raised your hand, all of you, please put those down. If you have not raised your hand, I want you to say, you know what? Don't close me out. I had just made a decision. Include me in this prayer before you close this opportunity. Pastor, let me say yes to the Lord. Okay, I count to three and be encouraged to do it. Sometimes it just takes a decision. When you think too much about it, it will never happen because your mind will never take you all the way. But God will at your obedience. And if you say, Pastor, I just thought about it. Here is my hand. Include me in that prayer. Now, one, two, three. Lift it high. Good. Lift them high. Lift them up. Lift them up. Lift them up. Good, 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 good. Wonderful, wonderful. I want you to stand on your feet for a minute. Stand on your feet. If you raise your hand, come on, take another step. Don't think about it. It is the obedience that God wants. If you raise your hand, stand on your feet. Stand, stand, stand. Across this place, across this room, across this room. God loves you. He wants to change your life. He wants to impact your heart. Amen. Stand. If you're still seated, I want you to stand, please. It's an honor to stand for God. Remember, when you take a stand for God, he will take a stand for you. If you take a stand for God, he will take a stand for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you come here and meet me in the front? Sneak out. Sneak out and come to the front. We want to pray with you. Can you do that? Sneak out. Sneak out. Come, come, come. God bless you. God bless your heart. 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 Come. Come. Amen. He loves you. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And you are special in his sight. You are special in his sight. Amen. Amen. He loves you. Good. Wonderful. Wonderful. Keep coming. Keep coming. Let nobody leave yet. I want to pray for all of you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Now, thank you. God bless you so much. We're going to be praying for you in a sec. I want to make sure that
the Lord maximizes ministry in all of our hearts. Some of you, you feel you want to say yes to the things you have never said yes to. Some of you want to stretch out that area from today. Some of you want to go and do better after today. Well, you know what? You cannot do it by yourself. You need the help of the Lord. You will die trying if you do it in your own strength. How many people say, Pastor, today I want to stretch out my hand. Either in the things of God, in the areas where you've been weak, in the areas where you know what? I need to function more. Life is about touching God with your right hand and touching people. Things in your home, things in your life that will hinder you from doing that. And you say, I'm going today to stretch my hand. I want to see life back in my relationships. I want life back in my home and marriage. I want life back in my prayer life. I want life back in my commitments in the things of God. I want life back in the areas of my commitment to the services of God in my church. I want life back in my faith towards God. Father, do something in my heart. If you say that, some of you may be. You say, you know what, I've not been walking closely to the Lord, but I love Him. But today I want to stretch all those hands. How many say, Pastor, I'm in that area. Pray for me. Lift your hand. Lift your hand. Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, there is no way I can ask you to come forward. It's the whole church almost. And that's a good thing. And that's a good thing. So what I'm going to do is that we cannot bring you over here, but God's going to minister to you in different ways. What we're going to do right now, I'm going to split this congregation in two. Okay? And this side is going to go to this side. There are some counselors and ministers that are helping you, are going to help you and pray for you specifically. And this area from this one is going to go to the other side. There are people that are going to help you out. But before you do that, I want to pray for you briefly. Would you close your eyes? Father, I thank you for these people who have said yes to you. Father, please come and take it from here. They have obeyed you. They want to begin a healthy relationship with you. Teach them what it is to know you in a personal way. Let this journey be the most exciting journey ever in their lives. And as they learn more about you and that they open their hearts, Lord, I pray you will meet them at the point of their need. They have different needs expressed here. But Father, I pray that the spiritual need will be taken care of today. And Lord, I pray you will use that as a doorway of entrance to every other details in their lives. I know you are concerned for them and you love them dearly. Now I pray you will do a work that no man can do. Reveal yourself to them in their hearts in a real way that they will feel your embrace and your touch and your love over them. We love to love you and we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, from this person, go this side, and this side, go to that side. Amen. Amen. Good. Bless your heart. 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 Now, I want to be able to pray for everybody that say, you know what, it's a time of stretching out. I know I will not be denied if I cooperate with the Lord. And I just want you to be able to pull out your hand like this, up in the air, but pull it out like this. Not this, but this. If you want this. And I want to pray that the Lord will just take it from here. Closing your eyes. Father, in Jesus' name, you've spoken to us today from your word. And Lord, it's always possible for us to think that we have arrived. Sometime we are distracted by little small victories. Because of the few little things that we have experienced. But today we realize that we are not supposed to be the way we were before we came in. We're supposed to head out of this place differently. Different people. Stretched out our hands. Stretching out our hands to touch you like we never touched you before. Now we pray that Lord, you will give us all that it takes, Father in heaven, for us to be able to reach out to you. Anoint our knees that we may pray on a daily basis. Anoint our eyes that we may read your lips, that we may know what you're saying to us, God. We pray, God, in Jesus' name, that whatever we could not do yesterday, we will do, God.
Father, as these hands are stretched out, I pray they will not only touch you, but they touch other people in every area of influence by the power of the Spirit of the living God. Father, I pray that every hand that's stretched will not be denied of the answers that you have. For I know you love each one of us, and it's your desire for us to experience more of you. And Father, now we pray that each one of us will be ministered to in the areas of their lives. Father, whether it be day-to-day, daily decisions that they have to make, whether it be addictions that they want to break, whether it be habits that they don't like, Father in heaven, whether it be marriage life that is disturbed, God, whether it be areas of resources that they need, God, wisdom, knowledge, and counsel. Father, I pray that today you will meet them at that point in Jesus' name. Even answer issues about their health in the name of Jesus Christ, and provide answers, God, that they cannot bring to themselves. Father, do something today. Break everything that needs to be broken. But Lord, I pray that you build them up in the increase of the Holy Spirit upon their hearts and upon their lives. Excuse me. Father, we pray that in all that you will do today, we will rise up tomorrow to do what we couldn't do yesterday. Give us the grace to do that. That when we wake up tomorrow, we will run after the things that used to run after us. They'll be able to turn around and say, I have no fear because God is in my heart and I can face any challenge in my life. And by the help of the Lord, I am more than a conqueror because Christ lives inside of my life. Father, give us success and victory in everything we do from today. Now we say, Lord, we stretch them out. Would you say these words to me? Father, I stretch my hand out today. And I pray in Jesus' name that when tomorrow comes, even after this service, I will do what I couldn't do yesterday. Not by power, but by your Spirit, Lord. I want to thank you, for I am not the same. I'm stretching out my right hand in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, give him praise. He's good. Amen. I love you. God bless you. Feel free to join us in the next two services because I'll be adding on to this more of the things that I couldn't say today. But also I'll be sharing some of the stories that are incredible that have happened to us in Uganda. It will really bless your life. It won't feel like you have repeated a service. I guarantee you. Okay? I love you and God bless you. Have a great week.